Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc., who's questioning whether or not he wants to run with the devil today. Not sure.
I love that, man. Running with the devil, a little hailing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you know why that is, right? I've been designated as the devil by OT.
Oh, yeah, okay. I got confused. I thought that he was like, you're like the David Lee Roth of, you know, yeah. of radio. But
no.
Maybe that's,
no.
I don't know, maybe I'm not going to say. I saw
I'm the little guy on the other little station.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, Newell. Like, there was this whole, bring us all together thing, and then... Then there wasn't.
So yeah, let's talk about this.
Newell, you're the devil I know. So
yes, absolutely. Big day Saturday. Someone asked me about it. I said it's a good day here in the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, it's a really good day. I think for very simple reason. Helena Moreno won with what can only be interpreted as a mandate, and it was a mandate for a very clear message, which is that we deserve a Super Bowl level city and frankly region every day. And that just resonated with people. And I do think it also needs to be said that Helena and her team ran a pretty impeccable campaign. I mean, it was long, it was overwhelming, it was ubiquitous, it was clear on message. So that combination of really good execution combined with the right message for this moment, and you look at where, you know, how she did well across the entire city, across all the demographics. I'm really pleased about this clarity that we have.
I think it was a mandate, and it was a professional campaign that was run appropriately. I think she touched on all of the touchstone issues, right? I think she recognized where the friction points are out there and took them on head on.
Yeah, no, she did. And I think you also have to look at what happened in the council races, and there was a lot of clarity there. I think we've got 5 out of the yep. 7 races are settled. I think that they're all excellent candidates in the remaining races. And, you know, we know looking at the composition of this council, we don't know, but we have to definitely suspect or expect that it's going to be a much, much more collaborative and cooperative relationship than we had, you know, before, which is a low bar, but I think we're going to do much better than that.
Well, you know, Michael, I think you would agree timing is everything, right? And maybe this is an overused term, but we are, I think, truly at a defining moment here in the city. We are struggling trying to figure out whether or not we have a deficit, not so much a deficit, but how much the deficit is. Folks are telling me that it's probably closer to $200 million than it is to $100 million. Clancy Dubo said the same thing on the Tommy Tucker Show earlier this morning. His sources are telling him that it's closer to $200 million than it is $100 million. And in fact, if that's the case, we have some really, really difficult decisions to make.
Well, we do, Newell, but let's look at it. Let's look at it this way. You know, if that is the case, and the reality is that, I mean, part of the problem is that we have a deficit. The other problem is that we don't know how much of a deficit we have. And I think that second problem might even be bigger than the first, right?
Right.
But here's the reality is that, you know, is that Helena Moreno, as mayor-elect, does not yet own this problem. And I would go back to that idea of the Chinese term for crisis is dangerous opportunity. There's a danger, but there's also an enormous opportunity to right-size government in the context of this deficit, but also what's happening with things like AI. And so the only thing that in my mind would be a real mistake would be just to try to patch over this with accounting tricks and go back to where we were a year ago. That would be an enormous missed opportunity, and then the new administration would own it. But if we look at this as a chance to right-size city government and make a government that is more efficient and more effective, then this could be a blessing in disguise. I mean, do you think I'm just being a fatal optimist, or there's something here?
No, absolutely. In fact, I said that in my monologue earlier. We have to hope and pray that the new elected council, as well as the mayor, are able to work through this process. It is a defining moment. I just wanted to point out the legislative auditor testifying before the budget committee just revealed that the deficit, according to his office, is $165 million. And when you think about that, Michael, that's on a $700+ million operating budget, because the remainder of that budget, you know, of the $1.6 billion, is grants and capital budget, right?
Okay, so we're talking about a 25% hole. So that's a gaping hole in the hull, and you got to figure that some of that you can patch over, you know, with a straight face, you know, pulling money from other sources. But it means that you're going to have to find, you know, what, $100 million of operating savings in a $700 million budget. So that's a 15% cut. I mean, that's a Doge-level cut that would make Elon Musk happy. But I think you and
I will remind you that's to break even. And you know as well as I that in order to manage that other $800 million in grants and capital and everything else that's on the other side, you need to have operating dollars available to you, because you're fronting this money on the grants, and they're reimbursing you.
Right, you're fronting it, you get it on the back end. So it's a pickle, but I do really believe, from talking to Mayor-elect Moreno, from reading the tea leaves, and just from talking to folks in the business community, there is so much pent-up interest and energy and demand, including, I think, at the regional and state level, to all throw in together and make this thing work, that if the new administration is going to be as open to this help as I think they're going to be, we can pivot this and turn the crisis into the opportunity for a better government. And I'm not trying to be glib about it. I'm not trying to say there's not going to be pain or be trade-offs. But I don't know. The gods of government brought us to this moment for a reason. As you said, timing is everything. And let's be grateful for this moment in this transition and make it work. I can't shake the sense that if you look around, Newell, there's so much good happening in the city, despite the headwinds that we've had to fight. It's the billions of investment, the successes of last year, the Super Bowl, the Mardi Gras season, the overall improvement in public safety, that I think now if we come together with a unified and effective government that not only is focused on the city, but is also regionally focused and has a good relationship with the Landry administration, we have an opportunity for some very productive, busy years in front of us.
The city has been successful in spite of itself in many ways, is kind of the way that I look at it. What's interesting to me, Michael, and I'd love for you to opine on this, you know, some of the detractors have said, you know, these interests, rather if it's Jeff Landry or, you know, folks in the outlying parishes to the city of New Orleans, their involvement, they're wanting certain things to happen. I don't understand that criticism, because the reality is, and I think you recognize it, you know it better than most, as the city goes, so goes the region, right? I mean, that's always been the mantra. And it may not ever have been more true than today.
That is correct. Everybody gets this. I was just in a meeting before this that I had to dip out because I had a very important phone call to make. And there was a leader from Jefferson who was talking about this. And they said, look, the reality is that Jefferson Parish has benefited in the short term from the headwinds in New Orleans. But there is nobody in Jefferson that thinks midterm it's good for Jefferson if New Orleans does not succeed. We know that we're joined at the hip. And I know from talking to the Landry administration that they feel exactly the same way, that the reason why they've invested in the Super Bowl, the reason why they've invested in public safety in New Orleans is because New Orleans is the economic heart, and it absolutely is the brand of the state. I mean, I've got in-laws over in Europe who will tell you straight to your face that they've been to New Orleans, they love it, but they've never been to Louisiana. They'd love to go sometime.
Yeah. Perfect. Also, we have a new sheriff in town, right? Which is a good thing too. That race is resolved, and a lot of the same challenges lie in that new administration of Michelle Woodfork.
Yeah, I think that Chief Woodfork, Sheriff Woodfork now brings lots of experience to this role, brings a lot of support behind her. I believe that what she knows and what became apparent, frankly, in the last administration is that ideology and philosophy are fine, but at the end of the day, being the sheriff and running the jail is, again, an executional task. And there are a lot of challenges with the population, with money. But at the end of the day, you have a job, and the job is to keep the inmates safe and keep citizens safe. And that has to be job one. Michelle Woodfork was given a mandate to make this happen. But I think it's going to be a short honeymoon in which she's going to be able or have to prove that she can do a better job at those things than her predecessor. But right now, that was clearly the message that she got from the voters.
And for the benefit of the listening audience, Michael, she does not take office, I think, until May of 2026. They're on a different cycle than the other elected officials.
I thought it was early January and as well. Okay, so thank you.
I believe that's the case. And, you know, really one of the defining issues is, I think, for the mental health jail will be open probably sometime between May and August, you know, July, August. And that'll be her real first test, right? In making sure she has the requisite number of employees necessary and all of the things in place. And unfortunately for her, during this lame duck, she's not going to have a lot of say, depending on how Susan Hudson handles the transition. And the same is to be said about the mayor here. It'd be nice if these transitions went really smooth.
Yeah, I mean, I what I can say in terms of the city is, from my experience working with the team at City Hall, they've always been professional. They've always been able. I would expect that there is going to be a transition at City Hall that is going to work fairly well. And look, you know, and knowing Susan Hudson as a person before, you know, as a private citizen before she was sheriff, we were in some forums together. I would expect Sheriff Hudson to do this the right way. I mean, I know that it was a difficult campaign, but I would expect Susan to dust herself off and to make sure that she sets up Chief Woodford for success.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that certainly something that she'll be able to do. The mayor-elect has really hit the ground running. She's already putting together her transition team. The mantra is newdirectionnola.com is the website that they've put up there, and it's New Direction NOLA. I like the branding thus far, and she hadn't missed a lick already. I mean, she's blowing and going.
I can say, I think, because I talked to some of the people who are deeply involved, that they were meeting on the Sunday after the election talking about transition. So, look, this is a moment that Helena Moreno has been preparing for a long time. I wouldn't say an anticipated outcome, but a high likelihood outcome. And so this was already queued up, ready to go. And I would encourage citizens who do want to be interested, who do want to be involved, to go to New Direction NOLA and to submit their name for the transition, for jobs, or just to submit an idea. If you don't want to do that, feel free just to email or text me, and I will forward on to some of the quote inner circle. I think that it's going to be I think one of the intentions of this administration, not to speak for the new mayor, but it's going to be inclusive, to be collaborative. And I think people sometimes say, oh, it doesn't matter. My ideas won't matter. They won't include me. I think you'll be surprised how over-indexed your ideas can be if you take the time to send them in with some good justification or even your name. You might get placed. So, yeah, go to newdirectionnola.com and join the team.
Unless you're the devil. Let's transition to something. The Trump administration has not looked upon these police consent decrees favorably, which may inure to the benefit of the city here in the short term.
Yeah, look, regardless of what was happening with the president and with DOJ, my opinion, and I think the opinion of many others, is that this is a transformed police force. In fact, I remember talking to Susan Hudson back when she was a monitor, and I asked her about this. And she said, when I started, there were really some terrible problems, but now they are utterly transformed. Those were her words. I'm paraphrasing. Under Chief Kirkpatrick, I think that it has continued. I get glowing reviews about this police force on basically a weekly basis from individuals across the city of all races, creeds, colors, political orientation. So regardless of the circumstances that is bringing this consent decree to end, I support it unequivocally. And I don't think that people necessarily remember, but there are a lot of things that this police force is unable to do under the consent decree that as a layperson seem to be part and parcel of performing their duties, like chasing after the bad guys, because generally the bad guys don't just stop there and offer up their wrists. So, no, I think it's time. I'm glad to see this, and I'm definitely glad to see this under this version of the police force with this chief.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, they've made their way through most of this consent decree, right? And because of the Trump administration's ideology on it, they're looking at some of this and making sure that these things don't carry on too long. I mean, we've actually had consent decrees in place, I think, 15, 16 years in some cities. I mean, it's like insane the amount of time.
If you look at, I think what Noel and Hammond, yeah, and Hammond, the school system there, I think is still under a consent decree going back decades, right?
Yeah. And I think it's costing the city, what, $3.5 million a year or some crazy number like that? I mean, yeah. they don't have to come out from under it for sure. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. We are broadcasting live here from the People's Health Medicare Center. Today starts Medicare enrollment period. Medicare Enrollment Day right here on WWL at the People's Health Medicare Center at 3017 Veterans Memorial Boulevard between Trader Joe's and Causeway. If you're near 65, already 65, or made 65 this year, this is the time to visit the People's Health Medicare Center to find out all of the options available to you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. And on the text line, my audience wants to know how Michael's book is coming along, come heck or high water. Amazon does not show an ISBN yet. Folks are anxiously waiting for your book to come out.
We are putting the finishing touches, and I'm desperately looking for somebody to actually publish it. No luck yet. You know, sometimes great art is not appreciated in the moment.
It'll be a completely 100% AI-generated book,
yes,
and
it will.
We have a guest here that has provided seed money for a civilized AI, but Mike Katz, who's about to join us. Mike, we need an uncivilized AI for Michael Heck and his book.
Can you fund that, Mike Katz, please? All right. Hey, Newell, you know, I'm going to have to jump off to go present, but let me introduce Mike Katz. He's a great friend, a great leader in our community. He's senior managing director of Benson Capital Partners. They invest in all types of businesses and projects in the region, startups, real estate, operating businesses. And I think that they've just hit investment number 20. So an important part of our economy and an extension of what Mrs. Gail Benson does for our community. So it's great to have Mike on.
Welcome, Mike Katz, Senior Managing Director of Benson Capital Partners. Mike, I didn't mean to have that as an awkward intro for you, but we truly need an uncivilized AI for Michael Heck and his book. Mike, are you there? Oh, we may have lost Mike.
Was it something you said or I said, Newell? I don't know.
He's like, he might have said, I want no part of this madness. I'm out.
And I'm out. Oh, man.
Can't say that I blame him. Oh, geez.
While we're waiting for Mike, go
ahead.
Just two things I wanted to plug. Bollinger Shipyards just got this great deal with the country of Finland to build 11 icebreakers. We're doing great work. Bollinger, Schwest, Saronic doing these autonomous vehicles out in Franklin. So that industry is blowing and going. And I want to also congratulate the convention center, Jim Cook, J.T. Hannon. They're making progress on building that new 600 million, 1,000-room hotel for the convention center, which is desperately needed. So, yeah, despite everything, the progress is continuing to roll, and getting back to our original point, along with the right leadership in the city, I think that it's going to be fantastic for the city, the region, the state. I'm pretty optimistic about the next few years.
Absolutely. In fact, I got to visit with JT Hannon the other night at the Spirit of Charity Award. Dr. Peter W. was the recipient. Had a great turnout.
Man,
great. And he's just such a great guy and a giver back to this community. But we had an opportunity to talk about the exciting things going on with the convention center. And we'll talk about that with Stephanie Turner in the 12 o'clock hour as well. But it's really good to hear about this momentum that's being created with the announcement of that Omni Hotel and other projects.
Well, you can see the Shell building. I drove by it this morning. It's starting to go up. We're making progress on the redevelopment of the NSA building down on Poland Avenue, which is going to become affordable housing and a new lab facility as an energy tech incubator. And yeah, I'm hopeful that even Plaza Tower gets redone by this Lincoln Community Group out of California. And talking to Mike Fitz yesterday, the charity project is rolling ahead, which should utterly transform that part of downtown.
No doubt. Michael, I know that you've got something you've got to get to. We're still trying to connect up with Mike Katz. So I think we'll just go to a break and then we'll come back. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, I appreciate that, Newell, because otherwise I was going to have to start going to my, like, Borscht Belt dad jokes, and that's not going to be good for ratings, so I'll sign off and express
right.
my gratitude.
Oh, wait, we got Mike. We got Mike,
hey,
so
guys,
go ahead.
I could hear you, but apologies. I guess you couldn't hear me, so appreciate that, Michael.
No, we couldn't.
So, thanks, Newell.
Thank you, sir. Mike Katz, Senior Managing Director of Benson Capital Partners. Mike, I've been following all of the investments that y'all have been in, up to 20 now, some incredible work. Tell us about this $2 million seed round in civilized AI. I don't know if you heard that Michael wants you to seed some money for uncivilized AI so he can do his book.
Well, I think I also heard his book's going to be written by AI, so I don't know if he needs any of my help. But no, we're really excited about civilized AI. We've been looking at ways for not just the city of New Orleans, but really the region, our municipal governments in particular, to be able to leverage the latest and greatest tools. We've been looking at this, candidly, since we started Benson Capital 6 years ago, or since Mrs. Benson started it 6 years ago. And I've known Matt Wisdom, who's the founder, I mean, I think probably since 2011. And he at the time was running a great business that had a strong exit called TurboSquid. And we just caught up over coffee recently, just in the last couple of months, couple of quarters. And he was telling me what he was working on. And I mean, the business is clever. It really started by just wanting citizens. I mean, this was initially, it was not a nonprofit, but it wasn't making any money, and it was printing QR codes and affixing them to cones, like orange cones that were adjacent to potholes, just so citizens could scan the code and find out what was going on. When was that pothole going to be fixed? Had it been addressed? Just some level of transparency. And the business has really taken off since then, and homegrown here in New Orleans, which we're thrilled about and excited to have them. Excited to have them also expand well beyond just our own city. These problems aren't unique to New Orleans.
Yeah, I've known Matt for a long time. TurboSquid did very well. He is a smart young man for sure, and he has this uncanny ability of how do I say it? Maybe Mike, exploiting the obvious. sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe capitalizing or
capitalizing it, pointing it out, whatever, yeah. I love that. Go ahead.
I'm
sorry.
I was just going to say he's really done an exceptional job. Obviously, TurboSquid was exactly that. It was kind of an obvious problem that he was able to take to the next level, and we're hopeful that that's the case here in civilized AI. I mean, we all interact in some way, shape, or form with government, particularly municipal government, and so there's some inefficiencies that exist in all forms, and the right tools hopefully can help smooth out at least some of that.
So let us do this. Let us go to a break. We'll come back and let's expound on where we think that this is going to end up. And when we talk about transparency as to the delivery of services, where you see this going. We're visiting with Mike Katz, Senior Managing Director of Benson Capital Partners. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This. Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Mike Katz, Senior Managing Director of Benson Capital Partners. This most recent seed round in Civilized AI is the 20th portfolio company, which is has a diverse investment, reinforcing their commitment to scalable innovation in the Gulf South. So, Mike, what drew you to Civilized AI?
You know, we're ultimately looking to back really great founders, and we had that are tackling tough problems or real problems, and Civilized AI and the CEO Matt Wisdom are really the confluence of that. And so between his excitement to go and try to make municipal government more efficient by selling really next generation tools, that was exciting to us. You know, Matt's expertise, he's capable of being able to pull it off. And then really the market itself, you know, you start to think about not just, you know, we're all biased here in New Orleans or around the state broadly, but a lot of these issues are pervasive anywhere. And so, whether it's calling into 311 and not knowing what's happening to those support tickets, or whether it's just trying to understand what's available, kind of what's on the menu from your municipal government. These are all things that the right technology can make a lot more scalable instead of individual people having to answer individual citizens' questions. So just like the same way that you might get support for sort of paid services, whether it be for your, you know, the cable company or your cell phone or whatever it may be, all that type of support really should be available to citizens and to governments as well. And so you bring all that together, and it was just really really obvious to us, candidly.
Yeah, Mike, I'm a big believer in information as power, and a more informed, you know, general public, I think, bodes well for a community at large.
Yeah, no, we would echo that. And it's not just for safety and sort of those types of services, but also, I mentioned the potholes, but, you know, what is going on with that pothole, or why is this street closed, or, you know, those types of things right now, that's really difficult information to obtain if it's even possible. And exactly to your point, well, the more transparency, the better. It also is a lot less expensive. It's a lot less expensive for citizens to be able to go and access that information on their own rather than bogging down City Hall or through 311 hotlines, or even worse, 911 hotlines. Instead, if they can access that sort of information, that's better. And maybe even better than that, if they can help be supplying that additional information too. That hasn't historically scaled, but having an outlet for citizens to be able to be communicating with government databases, to be able to help them have better access to real-time information is just that much stronger. And again, something we're thrilled to support.
We're visiting with Mike Katz, Senior Managing Director of Benson Capital Partners, in their most recent $2 million seed round in Civilized AI, which is a GovTech startup. Mike, when Michael Heck and I were talking earlier about timing is everything, and it seems to me that this approach and the utilization of AI, in my monologue this morning, I was talking about the financial morass that not only this city finds itself in, but the city of Chicago with a $1.15 billion deficit. Obviously, the citizenry there, the citizenry here is yearning for more information, and it's just not there to be had.
Exactly. And we're, whether it's Chicago or whether it's New Orleans, where this company is based, these are all customers or potential customers for Civilized AI. And being able to access that data is great for citizens. It's great for, I mean, keep harping on potholes, but it's great to understand what's going on with that pothole out front. It's great for the small business owner who wants to get up and running and historically may have been bogged down in a permitting process, or we're very close with a business that had a protracted process just to get a liquor license. And this is in a venue that was zoned to be a bar. I mean, it really shouldn't have taken as long as it had. And ultimately, unearthing kind of what the holdup is can be hard. And so, you know, the right tools are essential to functional government, to transparent, you know, to transparent government. And like you said, whether it's Chicago or whether it's here in New Orleans, technology is probably not 100% of the solution, but is it going to be a big part of it as these sort of civil services are increasingly complex in our increasingly complex society?
I think the importance level is one that's going to be on the gain side as opposed to the diminished side, right? I mean, and I love what you just said, because an efficient government is a wealthier government. And more dollars to provide more services in a more effective way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we see it all the time. And so basically what we're viewing, or what Civilized AI really views, is being able to take what is already there and then serve in terms of information and provide that to citizens in a manner that can become really large and can be one-to-one with individual citizens. But right now, the only way that that's delivered is literally city hall employee to individual citizen, and that doesn't work. Eventually, we run out of people who can man the phones, and so that you know, we keep going back to transparency, but that transparency is really important, and being able to free up resources at city hall or elsewhere within other services is exactly it's cost savings and enables those resources to be redeployed. And as consequently, we're hopeful, and the customers, these municipalities, would concur that it's wealth creating for those governments and consequently for everybody in the community.
You know, in my lifetime, I don't know that I ever recall being as intrigued by a new technology as I am by AI. Does that hold true for you and for Benson Capital Partners?
No, yeah. I mean, it's pervasive now across all of Gail Benson's businesses. AI broadly has become, you know, the default search engine, still verifying sources. You know, things like hallucinations amongst AI, you know, people get a lot of headlines, but we have recognized that this is a really powerful tool, and it's how our businesses are going to grow more quickly and really how we can redeploy people and sort of other tools in a more efficient way. So, you know, I think there's been a lot of discussion about jobs being replaced by AI, and maybe replaced is the wrong word. I think reallocated is probably going to be a lot more accurate. And, you know, yeah. For me, I have two young daughters, and think about sort of how would you direct them? What profession should they pursue? And, you know, in a lot of ways, I think we're undergoing the same type of transformation that we made when folks left agrarian societies, left farms, and moved into cities in an industrialized way. And granted, you know, that's what, 150 plus years ago. And that transition was painful. That was hard. I mean, history books might might gloss over that. I think we're undergoing, in many ways, at least I think, a very similar transition, and hopefully that transition period will be shorter and far less painful. But AI is here; it's here to stay. And you know, we're like to your the direct answer to your question is we're intrigued by AI, and we're using it in a major, major way every day.
Absolutely. Mike Katz, Senior Managing Director of Benson Capital Partners, thank you so much for joining us today and filling us in on what y'all are thinking about. And also thank you for the commitment of Mrs. Gail Benson, and especially in the local talent. I mean, that's huge for this city. It's something that we've needed for a long time, and we haven't had a lot of people step up to do so. So it is really very much appreciated that Benson Capital Partners has a history of doing that.
No, thank you, Newell. And yeah, you said it well. Mrs. Benson's commitment to hiring local, to helping grow this economy is really unparalleled. And I'm just really fortunate to be a small part of it.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to that seed money for Uncivilized AI so Michael Heck can get his book done sooner rather than later. Thank you so much, sir. Truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're broadcasting live from the People's Health Medicare Center right here at 3017 Veterans Memorial Boulevard. If you've got questions, this is the place to be. This enrollment period runs from October 15th today through December 7th. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Folks, when we return after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Nick Carl, Vice President of Growth for People's Health. If you have any questions about any of this, you're going to want to listen to this segment, but you also want to come out to the People's Health Medicare Center. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.